Well, let us turn now then to our scripture reading for this morning. You'll find it in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 10. On to look this morning at the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 11. But we can read from verses 1 down to the end of verse 30 just now. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 30. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, that I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad, why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. May God bless that reading of his own word. Well, congregation, if you open your Bibles once again to the portion that we read earlier, Gospel according to John, and the 10th chapter, as I intimated earlier, we want to look at verse 11 in the context of the portion that we read. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, I want to look with you this morning at the fourth of what are often referred to as the I am sayings or statements of the Lord Jesus, which we find here in the Gospel according to John, where Jesus says in verse 11 of John chapter 10, which we read just a moment ago, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And of course, at this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus has already referred to himself in three of the other I am statements, where he has described himself as being the bread of life, the light of the world, and here again in verse 7 of John chapter 10 as being the door of the sheep. And this chapter then, it focuses then on the images of sheep and sheepfolds and shepherds in order to teach us about the person and work of the Lord Jesus, who it is and what it is that he wants to do for us. And that's what I want to draw your attention to as we look at this saying of Jesus here in verse 11 of this magnificent chapter. For we will see, firstly, as we look at this verse, the character of the Lord Jesus as he describes himself here as the good shepherd. Then, secondly, we look at the work of the Lord Jesus as he describes it here. For as the good shepherd, he says, he gives his life for the sheep. And then lastly, we want to think about our need of the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Because as the Bible makes very clear, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, so that we might be brought back to God and into the sheepfold of the good shepherd. Well, firstly then, let us notice the character of the Lord Jesus as he describes himself here. For he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, this sermon of Jesus in John chapter 10, it grew out of the confrontation which Jesus had with the Jewish leaders following the excommunication from the synagogue of the blind beggar that Jesus had just healed. And so Jesus takes this opportunity, the opportunity which this event afforded him, to teach his audience something about himself, the reason why it is that he had come to this earth. You see, the Lord Jesus wants the people to know that unlike the false shepherds who were in charge of the Jewish religion of their day, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were only interested in providing for themselves and protecting their position in society, and only took advantage then of the sheep who were supposed to be under their care by exploiting them for their own ends. In contrast to all of them, Jesus is saying here, he is the good shepherd who comes to save the sheep, to provide them with the kind of care that they need. You see, while the scribes and the Pharisees, they were only thieves and robbers, hirelings as Jesus refers to them here, who were more concerned about their own precious little laws and traditions than they were about the law of God, the law of love. Jesus is saying here, he is the one true shepherd who has been sent by God, who does love the sheep, and who is willing to sacrifice himself for their benefit. But you see, when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd here, he's not simply referring to his skill as a shepherd to perform the task of shepherding the sheep of God's flock. But he's using the word in much the same way that we would refer to a good doctor, for example. You see, a good doctor is not someone who's simply skilled at doing his job. He's one who's known for his sympathy, his compassion, his love for the patients under his care. And the word translated good here then, it's meant to communicate to us that the Lord Jesus is a loving, a tender-hearted, an altogether compassionate shepherd who only has the best interests of the sheep entrusted to his care at heart. And child of God, here, that ought to be a tremendous comfort and encouragement to you and whatever you may be going through in life. You see, Jesus is telling you here in this description of himself that as the Good Shepherd, he's concerned about you. He's interested in you and your life situation. Because you see, he loves you. For remember, the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd, as he says in verse 14 of this same chapter and at the beginning of the chapter. He knows each of his sheep by name. In other words, he knows them all intimately. Just like the Eastern Shepherd knew each of his sheep personally and intimately, and he had a name for each of them. You see, that shepherd, he'd been with them from birth, right throughout their entire lives. And therefore, he knew their individual character traits, all of their special needs. And he knew each of those sheep personally by name. Well, friends, the Lord Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, he knows you and I by name also. He knows all of our distinct character traits. He knows your unique personality and mine. Because you see, we're not just another number or a statistic to the Lord Jesus. But we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, as the psalmist says. And that means he has a deep and a personal knowledge of everything about us. He knows us completely. He knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And child of God, there may be times when you're a mystery to yourself, but you're never a mystery to Jesus Christ. For he knows your very frame, as it says in Psalm 103. And that means then he knows your particular temperament, knows all of your moods, your deepest thoughts, your silent longings, your secret shames even, knows all of your weaknesses, all of your vulnerability, all of your various cares and concerns, knows what lifts you up, knows what gets you down, knows every burden that you carry from day to day, knows what is lying on your heart from moment to moment. My dear friend, there's nothing then that you could ever tell the Lord Jesus that he doesn't already know perfectly. But is that not what is so wonderful about being known by the Good Shepherd? Because you see, it's because he knows us and he knows his sheep so perfectly that he is able to lead them and care for them so effectively as their shepherd. And he knows what each one of us here needs then, this morning. And he's able to give us what we need at precisely the time when we need it. And moreover, because he is the Good Shepherd and his people are his sheep, that means he is fully committed to providing for all of their needs, for to take care of them. You see, my friend, Jesus is not like the hireling or the hired hand who does not own the sheep or care about the sheep, as Jesus says in verses 12 and 13. No. Jesus' sheep belong to him, and he has bound himself to them to care for them, to meet and supply all of their needs. And the hired hand then has no real investment, has no personal interest in the flock of sheep that he's sent to care for. He shepherds them simply because he's paid to do so. And the hired hand then, he has to calculate whether he feels it is worth the effort and risk of doing his job for what he gets paid for. And there may well come a point when the hired hand will simply say, it's just not worth it anymore. I'm not getting paid enough to do this job. Because you see, there are limits to his commitment to the sheep. But friend, that is not the case with the good shepherd. Because unlike the hired hand, the Lord Jesus doesn't care for you or I because of what he can get out of it. He cares for us because he loves us. And we belong to him if we are his sheep. And dear child of God, hear. In spite of all that he knows about you or I then, there will never come a time when he will ever say, we're just not worth it anymore. Never. You see, he will never give up on any of his sheep, even when they get lost, or when they wander out of the way, or they stray far away from him. You see, that's the amazing thing about the love of our good shepherd. Having set his love upon his sheep, he will love them to the very end. As he says himself in verse 28 of John chapter 10, he is the one who gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of his hand. Well, the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd then, who has established a permanent and a personal relationship with his sheep. And he's the only one who is supremely qualified to take care of them. And he has promised to do so. For you see, the good shepherd has purchased each of his sheep at the cost of his very own life. As Jesus says in verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In fact, he says this same thing four times in this very chapter. And that's what I want to consider in the second place then, as we look at the work of the good shepherd. And the first thing we can say here about the work of our good shepherd is that it is entirely voluntary. For as Jesus goes on to say in verses 17 and 18, no one takes his life from him, but he lays it down of himself. We must never think then in contemplating the passion and the death of Christ that his death was some sort of an accident or that it was imposed on him against his will or that Jesus was simply some kind of a martyr. No, friend, no one took Jesus' life from him against his will. No one took his life from him by force, nor was he coerced into laying it down. Jesus freely chose to go to the cross and suffer and die for his people. And friends, the act of Jesus laying down his life for his sheep was the greatest act of selfless love that this world has ever known then. You see, he willingly gave himself over to death, the death of the cross, so that through his death, his sheep might have life. And child of God, hear. That's what the good shepherd wants you to understand as you think about his passion and his word. Wants you to know, wants you to feel the depth of the selfless care and love that he has for you. And my dear friend, his love for you was so intense that even while you were still a sinner, he died for you. And he gave his life for you then, not because you deserved it, but because he knew that was the only way that he could save you from your sins, deliver you from death. Makes me think, boys and girls, about the story of a little boy I read of whose sister needed a blood transfusion. And the doctor explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. And he explained to the little boy, he said, her only chance for recovery was a transfusion from someone who had previously conquered the disease. And since the two children had the same rare blood type then, the little boy, he was the ideal donor. And so the doctor asked the little boy, he said to him, would you be willing to give your blood to your sister Mary? And the little boy, whose name was Johnny, he hesitated and his lower lip started to tremble. But then he smiled at the doctor and he said, sure, for my sister. And so shortly afterward, the two children, they were wheeled into the hospital room. Mary looking pale and thin, and little Johnny robust and healthy. And neither of them spoke a word. But when their eyes met, little Johnny, he simply smiled. And then as the nurse inserted the needle into his arm, Johnny's smile, it faded. And he watched the blood flow through the tube. And then when the ordeal was almost over, his voice, slightly shaky, it broke the silence. For he said to the doctor, doctor, when do I die? And it was only then the doctor realized why little Johnny had hesitated earlier, why his lip had trembled when he'd agreed to donate his blood. But you see, he thought that giving his blood to his sister meant that he would be giving up his life for her. And in that brief moment, he had made the decision to do so. Now, fortunately, little Johnny didn't have to die to save his sister, even though in his mind he was volunteering to do so. But you see, boys and girls, the same is not true for the Lord Jesus, because each of us has a condition far more serious than Mary's. And therefore, if we are to be saved from it, the Lord Jesus had to give not just his blood for us, but his very life. And that's the second thing about the work of the Lord Jesus that is taught here in our verse. Not only was the death of Christ a voluntary death, it was also a vicarious death. And by vicarious, we simply mean that he died in our place, the one for the many. You see, when Jesus gave his life for his sheep, he was acting as their substitute. Remember, Jesus didn't die for his own sin, for he had none, but he died for our sin. That's why Paul says in verse 25 of Romans chapter 4 that he was delivered up or delivered over to death because of our offenses. And again in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Christ willingly died in our place then, taking our punishment for sin upon himself, so that we might be set free from that sin and the just penalty it deserved. Because you see, he is the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. For he knew there was no other possible way they could be delivered from the sentence of death that was hanging over them by nature, unless he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice and give his life on their behalf. And that's what the converted African slave woman understood so well when she said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from the good place to save us sinners. For either he die or we die. And then she said, he die, we no die. And friends, that is the gospel in all of his wonderful and glorious simplicity. And that is what the Lord Jesus is teaching us here. That he came to this earth to give his life for us, so that he might open up the way back to God and eternal life through him. While in the Old Testament then, thousands of sheep were sacrificed as sin offerings for their shepherds. In the New Testament, Jesus comes as the Good Shepherd to reverse that order by sacrificing himself for the sheep. Well, the work of the Good Shepherd, it was voluntary. It was vicarious then. But it was also a victorious work. You see, Jesus died in order to rise victorious over sin and death, to conquer these enemies for his sheep. And through his death on the cross then, Christ has triumphed once and for all over death and the grave. As the writer to the Hebrews says in verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews chapter 2, he partook of our nature. But why? So that through his death in our nature, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Because as Timothy says in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, our Savior Jesus Christ has now abolished death, and having done so, he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And when the final trumpet will sound then, on the day of the resurrection, when the dead in Christ will be raised up without corruption, for mortality will have put on immortality, and corruption will have given way to incorruption, then it shall be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And friends, what a glorious work the work of our Good Shepherd is then. And what a glorious prospect it secures for all those who are the sheep of Christ's flock. Well, that brings us then in the last place to think briefly about our need of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. You see, Christ gave his life for a reason, as we've seen. But that reason is summed up for us in verses 15 and 16 of this chapter, where Jesus speaks about how he must bring his sheep into the sheepfold so that there will be one fold and one shepherd. And of course, Jesus is speaking in these verses about the fact that he died for Jews and Gentiles alike. You see, contrary to the exclusivist mindset of the Jewish religious leaders of his day, Jesus was teaching that he died for a lost world, so that all who put their trust in him, they might be saved and gathered out unto God again, out of all nations, tribes and people and tongues. You see, it was always God's intention to gather together in one all things in Christ, so that there might be one family of God. And while the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for the salvation of the whole world, then we must never forget that it is efficient only for those who will believe in him. And this verse, in its context then, it is a reminder to us that whatever else we may need in life, we all need to come to the realization that in reality, one thing alone is truly needful, and that is to be found in Christ by faith. It's to be brought into the sheepfold of God by entering through Jesus Christ himself, who is the only door to it. Remember, friends, since Jesus Christ is the door of the sheepfold, as he says in verse 7, and a door shuts some people in and shuts others out. It is absolutely imperative that we do come to Him by faith while we can, if we want to be found on the right side of the door when it is finally shut on that great day when Christ will return again for a second time. You see, we need to always remember that God has appointed a day in which the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, will come again to this earth to separate the sheep and the goats, those who have put their trust in Him and those who have not. My dear friend, it is only those who have put their trust in the finished work of Christ as the Good Shepherd, who gives His life for His sheep, who will be safe from the judgment of God on that day. It's only those who will hear the beautiful words of the Lord Jesus on that day. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. My dear unconverted friend, hear then, whoever you may be, you simply cannot afford to be neutral about Jesus Christ. And you cannot afford to put off your salvation for 1 minute more. For you don't know what a day or an hour may bring in your experience. You're not guaranteed to see out this day or this week. None of us are. And I urge you then, while it is still day, come to the Good Shepherd that you may have eternal life. For my friend, Jesus assures us that if anyone enters into the sheepfold by Him, they will be saved and they will go in and out and find pasture. For that is the whole reason He came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And why will you go on living then, if you're outside of Christ, for lesser things in life that can never satisfy you? When the Lord Jesus is holding out to you in the gospel the only thing, the one thing, that can and will satisfy every need of the human heart, a living relationship with God in Him. Well, friends, as we said in our opening comments, the Bible makes very clear, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, so that we might be brought back to God and into the sheepfold. But there will be one fold and one shepherd. And the question is, will we be in it? Because you see, it's only those who have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb by faith, they will forever be before the throne of God, where they will serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, the Good Shepherd, who is in the midst of the throne, He will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of living water. Well, friends, Jesus is just the shepherd that you and I need, not just for time, but for eternity. And let us hear His voice speaking to us in the gospel then. For He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. For I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Amen.